Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our Through the Bible edition, or one of them, I should say. We go through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse, and we see what the Spirit of God will reveal to us. We are continuing a series I call Minor Prophets for Interesting Time, and we have gone through most of the Minor Prophets. And we are in Zephaniah right now, and for this day, our second segment today, our second hour. And I'm just going to catch up here with looking at Zephaniah 2, 4 through 15 is where we ended up. And I was going to look at Matthew Henry's concise commentary to catch up those that may be just joining us in this hour, or to get a synopsis of that section. Those are really in a woeful condition who have the word of the Lord against them. For no word of his shall fall to the ground. God will restore his people to their rights, though long kept from them. It has been the common lot of God's people in all ages to be reproached and reviled. God shall be worshipped, not only by all Israel and the strangers who join them, but by the heathen. Remote nations must be reckoned with for the wrongs done to God's people, the sufferings of the insolent and haughty in prosperity are unpitied and unlamented. But all the desolations of the flourishing nations will make way for the overturning Satan's kingdom. Let us improve our advantages and expect the performance of every promise, praying that our Father's name may be hallowed everywhere over all the earth. Thankful to Matthew Henry for his commentary there. We left off. God is addressing those nations round about Jerusalem, those haughty nations that looked on the judgment of Judah, who would look on it and rejoice in it even. He says, ye Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by my sword. And of course, what is the sword of the Lord? The sword of the Lord is whatever nation he wields against whatever nation he wishes or he desires to wield it against. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness, and flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nations, both the cormorant, and I'm not sure I know what that is. I'm going to look at that word there and see what I get here. A pelican. Okay. Thank you, King James, for that archaic rendering of the word pelican. So both the pelican and the bittern shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be on the thresholds, for he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How is she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? And everyone that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. So the judgment decreed. Okay, well, anyway, we're to chapter 3, and I'm going to start that out with a little bit of commentary to get us rolling on it from Matthew Henry's concise commentary. The Holy God hates sin most in those nearest to him. Well, hallelujah, that's all I can say about that. Of course, it's just like you would hate sin in your own children more than you hate it in your neighbors, correct? A sinful state is, and will be, a woeful state, and increasingly so, because of the effects of sin. Yet they had the tokens of God's presence and all the advantages of knowing his will. with the strongest reasons to do it. Still, they persisted in disobedience. Alas, that men often are more active in doing wickedness than believers are in doing good. That's quite an indictment there against God's church and against the visible church called Israel in the day of Zephaniah. Let's look at our Bible text now here in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 1. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the marrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Wow. You know, I read that, and it is a picture of the visible church around me today, and even some that I love that call themselves Christians, even some that I'm related to. It saddens my heart to say that it applies to people I know. I visit their churches, their church buildings, and I see that they've forgotten God's law. They do violence to the law. Yeah, they've done violence to the law. They pollute the sanctuary, the gathering together of God's people, because the people are the church. We are his sanctuary. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. You know, I think for this one, I'm going to jump into Matthew Henry's exhaustive concordance here. He says, one would wonder that Jerusalem, the holy city, where God was known and his name was great, should be the city of which this black character is here given. That a place which enjoyed such abundance of the means of grace should become so very corrupt and vicious, and that God should permit it to be so. Yet it is so, to show that the law made nothing perfect. But if this be the true character of Jerusalem, as no doubt it is, for God's judgments will make none worse than they are, it is no wonder that the prophet begins, woe to her. For the holy God hates sin in those that are nearest to him, nay, in them that he hates it most. A sinful state is and will be a woeful state. And so when you look on these words, Jerusalem, then think to yourself, the visible church today. When God was visiting Jerusalem and calling out the judgment on the different sins and places where the encroachments of wickedness and idolatry were coming in, well, think of visiting different congregations where God's people, where the church gathers. They call them churches. They call the buildings churches. But it is the people that are the sanctuary where God is supposed to dwell. And look around at the sinful state. Yes, they may gather once a week and sing some songs and have a light sermon, but then go out during the week and practice the idolatry of the sinful nations around them, of the Babylon and the Sodom and Gomorrah of the society around them. That's a picture that I want you to see. The church, the visible church, is God's Israel. And when you step outside the door of the church building, you step into the world at large. You step into Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's what God's people are like today. They are like the captives in Babylon, with the living in a wicked nation, in the midst of a wicked nation, being a set apart people, the Church of God. That's what we are today. And how did we get to this state? Well, this state arose because the church forgot its God. And now they're in captivity, like Israel was in captivity in Babylon. Strangers in a strange land. That's what we are. But no longer do we feel strange. No longer does the church, those that are the nominal church, those that are called by the name of God, those that call themselves Yahudi, the people of God, as it says in the Revelation, those that are called Jews but are not. To take the figurative Jew would be a picture of the church. Those that say they are God's people but are not. They engage the society, the fallen Babylon around them, more than they engage the church. Is, as Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Is his kingdom and his righteousness the primary object of your life? Is it? If it is not, then when the judgment comes, the judgment will be for you, because you have turned back from God. You have forgotten your God, or you have forgotten the God of your father, or your father's father. They went to church, and they were righteous, and they were holy, and they followed. But the society changed, and their children and their children's children changed with the society instead of remaining steadfast to the kingdom of God. They became nominal, Christian in name only, rather than being part of the remnant. And when the judgment comes, will you know where to flee? Will you heed the words of the prophet as they apply to the visible church today? And will you leave the places where the judgment will be visited? Will you go to the outskirts, to the coastal towns, to the wilderness places where you can find rest and safety? Well, God does call some of his people to stay where they're at in the midst of judgment, to minister to those that are being judged, and maybe even to be martyred by those that are being judged. These are the days that are coming upon us. God has given me a dream, and I've shared that dream many times, what we can expect here. And if you want to be led by the Spirit of God, and you want to find that place of safety. See, because the remnant would read Zephaniah in that day, and they would understand that judgment is coming. And they would pinpoint, because he names the places where the judgment is coming. What do we have today? Well, we don't have any more prophets except people like me that are prophesying through the Word of God to you. And you can see that everything fits. And that's why I've named this series Minor Prophets for Interesting Times. They were interesting times, and I find it very interesting how they parallel the times in which we live. Let's jump back into our text here. Her prophets are light and treacherous. The pastors and the churches are light and treacherous persons. They have easy sermons. They're very shallow. Very nice people, though. They sing songs, and they wear strange clothing, I have to admit. And they have, you know, they bring strange fire into the congregation. So you see all of these things. They're light. And because they're light and they are only shallow, they don't dive in. They're afraid to tell their people, repent! The kingdom is at hand. They're afraid that they'll drive their people away because they are hirelings. They're afraid that people will leave and they'll stop giving and they'll stop receiving their payment. You say, so what? I've learned to live on little, because I would rather go deep and proclaim the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached when he said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And to the world, repent is a terrible word. They don't want to hear it. It's like poison to the idolatry of their soul, because that's exactly what it is. Repentance would root it out. It would root out the idolatry. It would root out their and expose their nakedness. So they hate the word repent. And those in the church now with their shallow sermons, they hate the word repent. And oh my, they hate the law of God. Even ask them, go in, do you hate the law of God? Well, they won't. They'll have a hard time. A war might well up in their spirit because they don't want to say they hate it, but they do. And they'll probably obfuscate rather than say they hate the word of God. They'll say, well, the law was nailed to the cross. That means, yes, I hate the law of God. And they'll give you all the reasons why they don't keep it, because that's what they've been taught. And yes, I want to keep God's law. And why? Because he paid the price for my sins. Because he loved me. And because I love him in return, I want to please him. Not that the law makes me righteousness. It's his blood. It was his work on the cross, his righteousness that's imputed to me. I only desire to please him. So I will keep his word, the law of my king, to the best of my ability. The prophets are light and treacherous. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. How have they polluted the sanctuary? They've allowed a false spirit in. They've allowed strange fire and strange garments and clothing into the sanctuary. They've allowed strange song and things that are contrary to God's law. And they raise up men who violate God's law, and they do it openly, doing things like getting tattoos for Jesus. And they teach gullible children that they can sin and violate God's law and do it for him. That's treacherous. That's violence to God's law. It's a violent overthrow of the law of God. We should fear to violate God's law. What did Jesus say? He said, those that violate the least commandments and teach men so will be the least in the kingdom of God. So if the kingdom of God is a picture of the visible church on earth, you don't want to be least in that. He says, those that keep the least commandments and teach men so, they shall be the greatest in the kingdom. And I read that. Jesus' own words. And I said, if I'm going to be great, I'm going to be great in God's kingdom. So I will do and I will keep even the least commandments. Not that my righteousness comes by doing and keeping them and teaching those, but because his righteousness is imputed to me, because I love the king and I love his law. Yes, I love the law of God. It is the desire of my heart to please my king. So I learn obedience. And how can I say I learn obedience? Because I'm not obedient, because it's not in me to be obedient of myself. To be obedient wars against the dead man of my flesh. It cries the cry of the sentence in me, that you shall surely die, the cry of my mortal flesh that I received and was born with, that seed of Adam with me, wars against the spirit. So it's obedience is something I need to learn, that we all need to learn. And Jesus said, if you don't carry your cross, you're not worthy of me. Well, I want to be worthy of him. So I will continue to crucify the deeds of the flesh. I will continue to learn obedience, and I will glory in the war step by step as I trudge forward in the battle for my soul, one step on that narrow path in the kingdom of God, one step in front of the other until I reach the end of my mortality, or until Jesus returns and changes me in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I will move forward, because the kingdom of God is the primary focus of my life. Because he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he does provide for me, and I will trust in him as long as I continue in his kingdom." It's when you're not continuing in his kingdom that you lose your faith and your trust in him. So if you see your faith waning and your trust is going by the wayside, turn around, repent. The kingdom is at hand. The just Lord, Yahuwah, as you can see it there in the Hebrew, the just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I have made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none that inhabit. There is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. We'll be back in a few minutes.